We are talking about being wholehearted in worship, and that's what we're going to get stuck into. We're on a journey to, over these next few weeks, to be people that are fully restored and fully healed in God, and that we would be those undivided people. It would literally be like, wow, it would be like a breath of fresh air. It would be like a fresh start for some of us, and we'd be like, wow, I don't need all this other stuff. I can detangle from all these other needs and all these other things that I thought I had to have, and I can just be me. I can just be enough in Christ. And that's the message of the gospel. That's the message of Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at. So how on earth do we go on this journey today of becoming more wholehearted in our worship? That's what we're going to look at, and we are going to encourage our hearts. Matthew 22, 37 is our key text over these last few weeks, and will continue to be. And it says, Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." And here's what we need to remind ourselves. Every time I read this scripture, I need to keep saying to myself, I cannot do this on my own. I can only do it with Him. This verse is impossible to activate through performance or through your own efforts or by trying your best. Trying your best is not required in the kingdom. Do it through grace, and watch how His grace enables you, and suddenly you're able to be better than your best, and you're able to do it, and it almost feels easy in a sense. I'm not saying it doesn't require hard work, but there's an easiness to it. There's a rest to it because you're doing it through Christ. And so when you read this, you've got to understand, it will not be a 10-step program that gets you to a whole heart in Christ. It can be helpful. You can put some good things in place. You can put some good routines in place. But ultimately, what we're talking about today and what we're always talking about in God is a relationship. I want a healthy, active relationship with God. And we said it last week. I'm married. I've got one wife. That's enough for me. I don't want another wife. It would get too complicated. And God's saying exactly the same. I want you to be real with me. I want you to find all you need with me. And together we will be whole. But here's what the Holy Spirit is speaking, and here's what God's saying. For our relationships to grow, there's got to be that devotion. There's got to be that adoration. It's that devotion where I am fully devoted to you, God. My heart is fully set aside for you. Another word for devotion is loyalty, or being loyal. I mean, if you're going to have a great friendship, you're going to have to be loyal to that friendship. It means you can't have the best friend and then have another best friend and then have another best friend. Otherwise, the first best friend goes, well, who is it? Like, who's the best friend here? And it's exactly the same with God. He's saying, hey, I want your whole heart. I want you to love me with everything you've got, not because I'm forcing you to do this, but because I know that my relationship will fully sustain you and you don't need anything else. And so I want you to be loyal to me. I want you to be fully devoted to me. And that devotion will be incredible. And so the first thing I want us to think about today is worship equals devotion. There's just no way out of this. If we're going to worship anything, if we're going to worship a girl or a boy or a car or yourself or whatever that is, it's going to require devotion. But devotion put into the wrong worship, or devotion put onto the wrong thing or the wrong person, can become unhealthy. And God says today, I want you to put devotion into me because I am good. I am healthy. I don't need anything from you. I simply want you to worship me because I deserve your worship, but because I've called you to this purpose and I've called you to these plans. So worship equals devotion. And that's what I want us to think about right from the outset. I'm devoted to you, God. I'm devoted in my heart and in my head. But here's where the challenge comes. What do I do with my actions? Because I've got good head knowledge, I've good heart knowledge, but I want to do it with my actions. It's like falling in love with someone or having a relationship with someone. If it's just in your head and your heart, well, I mean, it's hard to know what's really going on. Until it gets to actions, that's whenever we know what is going on. My devotion to Him, my devotion to God is, you're all that I want, you're all that I need, but it's got to be more than just a song. It's got to be more than just a prayer. It's got to get to action. It's got to come to our lives. It's got to come to our devotion in terms of how we live every single day. So what about our actions? Here's some quick maths, and some people like maths, some people don't. Worship plus devotion plus half-hearted is never going to get to the right results. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, it doesn't even fit. Worship plus devotion plus a tiny bit of ourselves, again, doesn't work. If you want complete relationship with someone, if you're in love with someone and they don't love you all the way back, it doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel good. I mean, if you're doing that to someone, come on, sort yourself out. But it's exactly the same with God. Worship plus devotion and not everything just doesn't make sense. It can't be a little bit. It can't be half-hearted. It can't be a tiny bit. It's got to be us. Because here's what devotion demands. It demands all. It demands every single part of us. And so how do we spell this out? This is how we spell it out. I wrote down a couple of quick things to spell it out. It's surrender, it's cost, it's sacrifice, and ultimately it's obedience. I mean, this is how it looks. This is how worship looks. This is how worship in action looks. It's sacrifice, it's surrender, it's cost, it's obedience. I mean, these words are some of the highest form of actions that you can take. They're some of the highest form words that you could even put out there. It's like, if I really love you, I'll sacrifice. Wow. I better question if I love you or not, because sacrifice, that's costly. Obedience, wow. If I'm going to be obedient to you and nobody else, I've got to really think about it. I've got to really process, what is my worship? And God says today in our heart today and the journey that we're going on is, how do I become wholehearted in my worship? And these are some of the things that are going to have to be activated in our relationship with God. And again, if we do it by faith, suddenly He sustains us. If we do it in our own strength, suddenly we find it difficult. We find it hard. But God is here and He says, I am here to help you. Can I give you an honest story from me? Because I love to give stories in the middle of it, because sometimes you remember stories better than you remember some of the principles that I try to tell you and try to help you with. But way back for me years ago, I remember saying to God, I want you, God. I really want you. You're all that I'm longing for. I want to give you my whole life. But ultimately, I was scared. And the reason why I was scared was because I understood there was a cost involved with this. But guess what happened to me? And maybe this is the same for you. I forgot about just how great His love is. Because no matter how great the cost is, His love will be greater. Because I'm not giving up something for a God who's stingy and mean. I'm giving up to a God who's already given up for me. So I can love because He's first loved me. He's already made the first move. He's already made the first move, and His first move was incredible. It was on the cross, and He poured out His life for me. And so I want to encourage you today. I want to remind you today that yes, there is this cost to this. Yes, obedience is difficult. Yes, obedience is hard, but His love is overwhelming and His love is amazing. And so His worship has already come to us. His worship is incredible. Number two, what does God say about worship? Here's what we got to do. If we're going to get into wholehearted worship, we've got to get a grip of what does God say about worship. And I want us to look to the Apostle Paul. He writes this incredible book called Romans. I hope you've read it before. If you haven't, you've got to check it out. It's an amazing book. But Romans, you'll find it's got multiple chapters, but it's split into kind of subsections. And Paul does this on purpose to try and bring people and bring the reader on a journey. And so the first 11 chapters you find is more about information. I want to give you good theology. I want to give you good foundation. I want to make sure you understand. I want to give you that great information about God so you have a great understanding. But when we get to chapter 12, which is the one we're going to look at in a moment for worship, he starts to change it from information to application. He's like, okay, you've got the foundation now, you've got the theology. I want to see you walk this out. I want to see you apply this to your life. And this is fundamentally what he's saying. I've given you information on worship, but now I'm going to give you a description of how to worship. How do you apply this to your life? And this is what we're going to read together. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers or sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Paul is going, right, now is the time to apply this thing. Now is the time to get serious. And we got to ask ourselves, is worship just a song? Is it just a quiet time? Is it just reading the Bible? And I'm going to suggest to us, I'm going to tell us from the Word today, worship is our life. Worship is everything, and it requires all of us in the same way as Jesus poured out all for us. So we're going to look at it. And to help us, here's what I think we need to do. We need to break it down to multiple parts. So we're going to take verse 1 of chapter 12, we're going to break it into multiple parts just really quickly, just to give us an understanding of what Paul's trying to grab our attention with. Part number 1, he says this, I appeal to you. Now, Paul's just saying this, I've spoken to your mind up into this. I want you to get your head in gear now. I want your brain to engage. I'm going to give you something. So head, get ready. Information, get ready. Remember the foundation I've laid for you. So come on, engage your brain when it comes to worship. Part 2. By the mercies of God. So now he's going from your brain to your emotions and feelings. He wants us to remember back. He wants us to remember, just like today and just like for the readers back then when he wrote it, I want you to think and remember God, but I also want you to remember what he's done for you. I want you to get out of your head and get to your feelings and your emotions and realize that his mercies are good. His mercies are new every morning, the psalmist says. He is faithful to you. He is kind to you. He is just to you. So now I want you to see, it's a head thing, but it's also a memory thing. It's intelligence, but it's also what have you felt? What have you experienced? I've got to get you to that place. And then he brings it down to practical. And part number 3 is present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is where it's like, this is real now. So before it was in your head, it was in your emotions, it was in your feelings, but now I've got to get it real. And when he speaks the body, he's talking about our body. He's not talking about anything else. It's not a metaphor. It's not a spiritual thing. It's your physical body. You know, you touch, we feel, we touch, we smell, we've got all the senses. You know, if I suddenly go along and I nip you, you feel it. It's not a nice feeling. And God is here today. He grabs our attention. He says, okay, we're going to get into true worship. And here's what true worship is. You've got to engage your brain. You've got to remember what I've done before. And now you've got to take the real you. You've got to take your bodies and you've got to give them to me. Present your bodies as living sacrifices. And when you think about living sacrifice, we've got to think Old Testament just for a moment. Because Old Testament was, if you wanted to get right with God, you had to sacrifice something. And so what you would do is you would find a substitute. You would find an animal, a goat, a lamb. You'd find something like that. You would bring it before God and then you would kill it. And you would sacrifice it to him. But now God's talking about, and through Paul, that it's going to be a living sacrifice. I mean, this is totally different now, because we're New Testament, and so we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We present us. We're not looking for a substitute. We're it. He's looking for us. And because he laid down his life, now instead of looking for forgiveness, we're going to lay it down in surrender. Wow. And this is what worship is. And now we're getting to the heart of worship. What's my wholehearted worship? Not seeking God for forgiveness. I'm seeking God and I want to serve him. I want to give him my life. I want to serve him with my life because of all that he has done for me. So it's about living, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. We're laying it down. We're laying it down because he's already forgiven us. So now we can serve him with our hearts. Part number four, holy and acceptable. See, there's something about holy, isn't there? Holy in the Bible talks about being set apart. And Paul is saying, if we're going to give true worship to God, if we're going to give that wholehearted worship, we've got to remind ourselves that every single day we have given up our rights. If we've turned our life to Christ and we said, Jesus, I give you my life, which means I give you my rights. And so now my body is not my own any longer. I'm going to give it to you. But here's the goodness of God. He says that even though you've made that decision once to ask for forgiveness, which is once for all, you've got to each day decide to give him your rights again. You've got to decide each day, even though it doesn't seem right, he says, that's the way I want it to be. I want you to give me your life afresh every day, not for forgiveness, but in service. I want you to say, okay, God, I'm giving up my rights. I want you to move through me. I want you to use me. I want to be holy. And then not just holy, but acceptable. And again, we got to go Old Testament to get ourselves the full context here. Acceptable in the Old Testament, when it came to sacrifice, was you would bring the lamb, you would bring the goat, and then it would depend how perfect or spotless the lamb or goat was, if it was acceptable, if it would cover your sins, if it would cover your faults. Well, here's the good news. Because of Jesus, our bodies, even though we make mistakes, even though we're sinful at times, even though we think and do silly things, we're always holy and acceptable to him because his blood covers us. And we've already been accepted. So when we bring whatever we can bring, it's already acceptable to him. He's never going to refuse us. This is the good news of our worship. No matter what worship you bring him, you could bring him good news worship. You could bring him sacrifice worship. You could bring him pain worship because you could be going through the deepest valley and yet you still worship him. That worship is still more than acceptable to God. And that's why in every season and every aspect of life, it is our time to worship him. It's always worship time. It's always worship time before God. And point number five, simply this, our last one, and then we'll move on, is this is spiritual worship. That's what Paul says. This is your spiritual worship. But it's not just spiritual, it's physical. Because when we do it in the spiritual, it affects every aspect of our lives. So when I worship God, it affects every aspect of my life. When I worship him, I step into more freedom, not just spiritually, but physically, emotionally, in every part of me. And so Paul says today, we've got to do exactly the same. Engage your brain, remember what he has done, and then present your body as living sacrifices. That will be your holy and acceptable form of worship. That will be your holy an acceptable form of spiritual worship. And when we do that, wow, we have now stepped into true worship. And this is the heart of God, true worship. This is true worship. And can I tell you what the highest form of worship is? And I think you're already starting to get it from reading what we've just read, is that the highest form of worship is obedience. Now, let's pause on that just for a moment. The only thing that God requires is obedience to his voice, obedient to his word. We'd be obedient to the word of God, both the written word of God and the audible voice of God, whatever way it is, but it's just the same way as Jesus. I only do the will of the Father. It's obedience is the highest form of worship. I mean, and here's the thing. We add everything else on. How sweet our voices are, you know, how long we've done it, this or that. We add all these extras on, but all that God's looking for is obedience. And guys, I just encourage us today, let's be obedient followers of Christ. This is what he has called us to do. Worship always becomes harder. This is something I wrote down earlier, and I feel like the Lord just wants to bring it to attention. Worship always becomes harder when we do it because of performance or because of approval rather than devotion and love. Worship always becomes harder when it's like this. And I want us to say that we should know that our worship is always holy and acceptable, that it's always right before God. And we simply worship because we have already been forgiven, not because we have to try and get something or earn something or be acceptable in some form. The grace of God has already been poured out. The Lamb has already been slain. And so for us today, all we do is receive by grace through faith, and He forgives us, and our lives are never the same again. This is the good news of the gospel. Our pursuit of being wholehearted is this, is that we can be one complete undivided purpose, undivided person serving one amazing God. This is the wholehearted. This is what wholeheartedness is all about. This is wholehearted living. This is wholehearted worship. I don't need to worship anyone else. No one else needs to worship me. I only need to worship Him. He's the one true God. He's all that I need. He's all that I want. And this is our true worship. And so today, come on, let's remember this. True worship is worshiping God. True worship is obedience. True worship is engaging our brain, reminding ourselves of His many benefits, and offering up our lives as our reasonable, reasonable sacrifice, and just saying to God, this is it. I give You my all. I give it to You afresh every single day because You are worth it and I love You. What a wonderful God that we serve. And I want us to look at the story today of Abraham and Isaac. True worship protects and sustains wholehearted living from God. And Abraham and Isaac proved this. This is what we find. I want to read the story today in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said, Abraham, here I am, he replied. I mean, we've got to understand that there are tests in life where God runs tests in our lives, not because He's a big bad teacher, but because He wants to see us succeed. He wants to see us overcome. You see, the point of God's tests are to help us to move forward and move further. They're not to counsel us or to push us down, but we've got to understand that God wants to test us so He can prove our faith, so we can go to the next phase, or we can go to the next place in God, or when we step into that calling that we are prepared for it and we are ready for it. And Abraham's response was, okay, here I am, Lord. He says, I'm available, Lord. I want to hear from You. I want to do what You've called me to do. Now watch what it says in verse 2. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. Wow. Early the next morning, Abram got up and loaded his donkey. Wow. This is what an ask, what a request, what a form of worship this is going to be. 3 days later, or 3 days of travel take place. And then in verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and he placed it on his son Isaac and himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, yes, my son, Abraham said. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God Himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Wow. Verse 9, when they reached the place that God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld me, your son, your only son. So Abraham called that place the place that the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time. And he said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, not because you have done this, and and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities and their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Wow. What a story. What an incredible story of worship and adoration and giving it all and the goodness of God. And you're like, wow, did that really happen? And it absolutely did. It absolutely did. And so for the last few moments of our time, I want us to look at what we can learn from the story. This is worship. This is what worship looks like. This is when you engage your brain. This is when you remember what God has done. This is when you really step out and you present, you give your best, you give what you have, and you trust God in the process. And wow, God comes through every single time with his provision and with his kindness and with his goodness. And so the first point is this: what does God ask Abram? What does God ask Abram? Come on, you already know the answer to this question, so it's rhetorical, but what does God ask Abram? Here's the thing, he asks him for everything. It is not just a small thing or a big thing, but it is everything. It is the most precious thing that he has. He says, Abram, give me your son. Now, Abraham, if you know the story, has waited decades. He waited decades for his son. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And when he was an old man, God gave him a son. This is the gift that God had promised him. And God really wants me to give this up. Can I tell you that true and proper worship is that you will give up the very best that you have, the most precious thing that you have. Wow. Why? Because you will say, you are worth it, Lord. And this is the truth about worship. It's costly. I mean, right from the outset, we've got to realize that it is costly. True worship is costly. It will cost you everything. There's just no way to worship God on the cheap. There's just no way to worship God with a tiny bit. He requires all. And so if you're not given all, you've got to ask the Lord to convict you. You've got to ask the Lord and go, well, maybe I need to make some changes. Maybe I need to make some changes. And here's the real question. And I believe this is the real question of what God is talking about today. Is God worth your worship? This is the question Abraham had to answer. This is the question we all have to answer. It's not that we don't think that God's worthy of worship. It's not that we don't think that we should worship. But what it all comes down to, the reason that we don't, is that we've got to ask the question, or maybe we've already answered it by the actions that we take. Is God worth our worship? Is he worth your worship? Is he worth your time? Is he worth your sacrifice? Is he worth the cost? Is he worth the effort? These are all the questions that we've got to ask, because if we're not giving him our time, or we're not giving a costly worship, and we're not worshiping him, then we've already answered the question whether we know it or not, because God really is worth our worship. And if we say he's not, well, then that's what our actions will dictate. Abram decided he is worth my worship. Abram had no doubt. Look what it says in verse 3. Early the next morning, Abram got up and loaded his donkey. I don't know if it was he couldn't sleep. I don't know if he didn't want to think about it a moment longer. But the first opportunity he got, he went, and he went for God. He went to worship God. I mean, God has asked the most incredible request. And what does it say? Early the next morning, Abram gets up and he loads the donkey and he is off. I tell you, it feels like there's no hesitation. It feels like there's no hesitation. God, you are worthy. It feels like there's no hesitation with Abraham. He has already decided. I've already thought. I already know. There is no hesitation for me. I am going to worship God at any price, at any cost, because he is absolutely worth it. And for Abram, it was about trust and it was about sacrifice. God, I know you, so I trust you. But ultimately, if I have to sacrifice, I have to sacrifice, because you are worth it, and you're worth everything good in me, and you're worth everything good around me. What about that for a response for us? Let that challenge our spirits today. Let that challenge our hearts today. Let that convict us in our thinking. Point number two, Abraham trusted God. I tell you what, he trusted him. Isaac spoke up and said in verse 7 to his father, "Father, yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Could you imagine? Come on, let's just put ourselves in those shoes just for a moment. And you are Abraham, and you're bringing your most precious son, and you're going to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. What would you do? Could you picture the scene? Can you put yourself in the scene of this for just a moment and go, wow? I mean, your son, the one that you know you're going to sacrifice, and he speaks up and he says, "Dad, have we missed something? Have we forgot something? I can see the fire, I can see the wood, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb, Dad? What are we going to do, Dad? I mean, is this all a waste of time, Dad?" And of course, the dad already knows. He already knows what's going on. Abraham did what Paul asks us to do when it comes to worship. You got to engage your brain. You got to say, okay, I know God. I know the theology he's put in me. I know he's always good. I know that his goodness, he's good in all his ways. He's good in all his ways. So I trust him with that. I remember, I forget not his benefits. Number two, Abraham remembers what Paul challenges to do. Remember in your mind, your will, and your emotions. Remember all the things he's done. Remember all the things you've been through. Abraham remembers this is a God who's always good. He never fails. He's never been bad. He's never been evil. He's always been good. He's a good God. And even though I don't know his ways sometimes, even though I don't understand his ways sometimes, I still want to trust him. And so Abraham gets to this place and he says, I still trust God. And so Isaac was his biggest blessing, but I still trust him because I trust God. I don't understand, but I trust you. And verse 8 is absolutely incredible. Abraham answered God and he said, God himself will provide. He talks back to his son. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. This is wholehearted worship. Wow. Let's just pause just for a second and just process this. Abraham is bringing his son to sacrifice his son because God asked him to. And because of his heart for worship, and because he just says, God, I love you above all other things, he says, I will follow your voice. And when even when Isaac asks him, he doesn't turn around. He doesn't come up with plan B. He doesn't go another way. He simply says, the Lord's going to provide. I trust God. You see, Abraham shows us, I won't be divided by fear. I won't be divided by another plan. I won't be divided by doubt or worry. I will trust my God, and I will have one heart, and I will be undivided. And this is what I got to encourage us with today. When it comes to the enemy, and it comes to the plans of the enemy, and it even comes to life, and things are getting hard, and they're getting awkward. If we're going to be wholehearted people, we've got to stay undivided. We cannot look to the left or right. We cannot try to think of plan B. We can't be like, God, did I really hear you? We can't be saying, God, I'm going this way. I'm going that way. I mean, we just can't do it. We've got to trust God, because we know that we can trust him with our whole hearts because of the way he's already proved to us on the cross. You see, Jesus is amazing and God is amazing, and Abram decides to trust him regardless. I won't be divided by fear. I won't be divided by another plan. I won't be divided by doubt or worry. I will put my whole trust in God. Point number three, Abraham trusted God past the point of no return. Ever been there? Ever been to that place where you like, you just know, right, the next time I'm going all in. I'm going to give them my whole heart. Whatever they do after that, I'll be a busted mess if they reject me or if they break me. But so be it. There's no other way for me now. That's the way it is in all relationships. You get to a point in all relationships that if you want to continue to be devoted, if you want to continue to grow, if you want to continue to go deeper in that relationship, you get to the point where you say to yourself, I'm all in now. I'm past the point of no return. This is what Abraham did, and this is the most incredible part of the story. Verse 9, when they reached the place that God had told him about, he's always listened to his voice. Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac, and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and then he reached out his hand, and he took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him. He said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham does exactly what he did right at the start. He's always obedient. Here I am, Lord, he replied. Here I am. Wow. This is real worship. This is where the rubber hits the road. That's what we say. I don't know what you say, but this is when it gets real. This is when it gets real. Abraham, he's built the altar. He's found the place. He's bound his son. He's put him on the altar, and he's got the knife, and he's ready to go. And then the angel cries, and he says, Abraham, Abraham, stop, 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 stop. I get it. I get it. This is true worship. And can we just grab attention just for a moment? This is not a man who hates his son. This is a man who cried out and pined and worshiped and adored the Lord and prayed for a son. And he sought his son for years to get a son. And now he's in a place where he's ready to sacrifice him. What does this mean? I mean, this is not a man who's decided, I've turned against my son. I don't want him any longer. He loves his son. Abraham absolutely loves his son. But can I tell you what's true? He loves God even more. He loves God even more, and he loves him to the point of true obedience. And he says, even though this doesn't make sense, and even though I don't get it, I love you, God, so I will do whatever you ask me to do, even to the point of sacrificing my own son. This is beyond belief. This is incredible. This is incredible love. This is unconditional love. This is true worship. And this is where we need to get to today, because worship is costly. Worship is costly. Abraham said, I'm undivided in my worship. I'm undivided in my devotion. I'm undivided in my service. What about us today? I'm undivided in my worship. I'm undivided in my devotion. I'm undivided in my service. Abraham knows that God loves Isaac more than he does. Wow. And this is it. This is the heart of the whole thing. Abraham knows that God loves Isaac more than me. Even though he's my promise, even though he's my greatest gift, God loves him more than I do. Can I tell you today that God loves you more than anybody else? Can I tell you today that God loves you more than anybody else, more than yourself, more than your mom, more than your dad, more than the person who loves you, more than your wife, more than your husband? God loves you so much. And how do we know this? Because he laid down his life for you. He really sent his son. And this story is incredible, because God sends a provision. God sends a substitute. But eventually God would send his son Jesus, where there was no substitute. And he laid him down for us because he loves us. Abraham knows that God's love is more than God loves Isaac more than he does. It was not driving Abraham. It was love. It was love. I worship you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. My worship to you is undivided. My worship to you is full of love. And I know that you're a God of love. And so I will trust you even in this moment. I love you, God, more than even my son. Wow. What a revelation. What a heart. What a heart for worship. And guys, today, wherever we find ourselves, this is it. What's the most precious things in your life? What are those most precious things? True worship is that even if I'm required to lay those things down, here's the true heart of worship, is that I love God even more than I love those things. I love God even more than my family. I love God even more than my wife. I've said it before. I don't know if I've ever said it on here, but I've said it before. I remember one night walking up the stairs, and I remember the Lord just paused me, and I was just pouring out my heart to God. I just said, Lord, I love you. And hey, I want to encourage you need to get times at night before you go to sleep, you just worship God. I don't know what you do, but what I do is I get the worship music on. Maybe the house is quiet someday, I get the worship music on, I just start to worship him. Maybe it's late at night and I'm just about to go to bed and everybody else is asleep, and I just get the worship music on and I just start to pour out my whole heart to him. And I remember going up the stairs that night just a few years back, and the Lord just paused me and he says, hey, would you give me everything? And I said, Lord, I give you everything. And he said to me, would you give me your family? And I says, I would, Lord. And it was one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing I've ever said, because I knew I meant it. And yet in that moment, he says, okay, I understand. I understand. You love me. You love me more than those things. And that's the heart of worship, that God, I'm willing to sacrifice. And that's what Abraham said. God, I'm willing to sacrifice if that's what you ask me for. I'm willing to lay it down. And that's true worship. And guys, I grab your heart. Worship is not just a good song, or I don't like this song or this song. Don't trivialize it like that. Bring it to the most precious things that you have and just say, in spite of those things, I love God. In fact, I give those things up for God. I love God more than those. I love God more than those. And this is what Abraham said that day. And from that point forward, everything changed. Even if he dies, I've got faith that God will bring resurrection. Even if it makes no sense, I've got faith that God was better than I believe, and he's more good than I know, and he is in perfect control, so I will trust him regardless. And our final point today is this. Why worship? Because God is better than you could ever imagine. Why worship God? Because he is better than you could ever conceive. He is better than anyone else that you will ever find, past, present, or future. There is no one like him, because he is perfect in all his ways, and he is worthy of our worship. And what he has already shown us is his perfect sacrifice and his wonderful cost and his wonderful love towards us when he sent his son Jesus. And I've already said it, but Jesus did come, and Jesus really did die, and God really laid down his son, and God really did put his son to death because he wanted us to live, because he loved us so much. He loved us so much. And of course, on the third day, Jesus rose again, death defeated, sin defeated, and we're still rejoicing in that one. And the devil has been forever defeated since that. And once and for all, he will be forever when he's put in this box for eternity. But we got to know it, that if you know Christ, then you are more than an overcomer. If you know Christ, then you've got everything you need. And the call of God is this: will you worship me? But it gets better. Verse 17, I will surely bless you. Abraham, you've passed the test. And it's what it says. Abraham, you've passed the test. I know that you truly worship me. You've no need. We've no need to do that anymore. So I provide a ram. I'll provide now. God says, I know your heart. I know that you're truly for me. I just wanted to see your worship. I wanted to see your worship. I needed to know where your worship was at. Because if it's not for me, then the enemy can get in. If it's not for me, then there's a gap. There's an area where the enemy could get in, and he will come and he will kill, steal, and destroy. And Abraham, I love you too much to call you into deeper places, into places where you'll be a greater target for the enemy. Because if you don't fully love me now, then when you get to those places, you'll be exposed and the enemy will take you out and he will destroy your life. And I love you too much to bring you there unless I know that your worship is straight and true, unless your worship is 100%. And it's the same for us today. God has plans for us. He's got purposes for us. He's got incredible things for us. And it's not that he's holding them off for us, but he loves us too much to bring us to a place we're not ready for. And he says, I've got to see your worship because I bring you to a place that you're not fit for. Then when you get to that place, you'll not worship me. And if you don't worship me, you could turn your back on me and you can't lose your salvation, but you could deny your faith. Wow. And you could be at a place where I never dreamed, a place where you would walk away from me, a place where you would be mad with me and you would turn your back on me. And God says, I love you too much to bring you there unless you're ready. And so he's looking for true worship. He's looking for true worship. He said, surely I will bless you and all your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Worship unlocked all that God had for Abraham. Worship will unlock all that God has for us today. And so the question is this, is God worth your worship? Is he really worth your worship? Is he worthy of it? And I tell you what, if he's worthy of it, then he's worthy of all of it. And that's the challenge for us. Will you give him your true heart? Will you give him your everything? Will you worship him with everything that you have? We're going to pray today. If you don't know Jesus, then today I want you to come to know him. You already seen God lay down his life for you. And why did he do that? So you could have a brand new start. So the brokenness in you could be healed. So the sin in you could be taken away. And so that you could have that brand new start in him. The Bible describes it as this, a spiritual rebirth where all the past is taken care of. It's all been taken care of. You're no longer impacted by it in the sense of it's not causing you to sin any longer. It's not causing you to feel any longer. You've been set free from it. And now you can move forward in the physical, in the natural, but look forward to also eternity with him forever. And so I want to pray for that. If you need Jesus, if you need to get right with God, we're going to pray right now. And then in a moment, we're going to pray for ourselves as Christians that we're going to take this worship even more serious, that we're going to get to a place where we love God with our whole hearts, where we give him all that we have, and through grace we will pour out our true worship to him because he is worthy of it all. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for everybody who's tuned in today. I thank you, Lord, for the great things you're doing. I pray right now, Lord, for those that you've spoken to, for those that are ready to get right with God, that they would say yes to Jesus right now. And I pray that simple act of obedience will unlock all of the abundance, all of their blessing, just like it did for Abraham, just like it did for me. It will do it for them. And so I pray right now in Jesus' name for those that are ready, that they will say yes to Jesus. They will say yes to you, Lord, and their lives will never be the same again right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for ourselves as Christians. I pray, Lord, that this story has challenged us. I pray, Lord, that we are being challenged. We need to be challenged each and every day because we want more of you. And so I pray, Lord, come on, we're going to worship you with more. And I pray even right now, Holy Spirit, would you encounter our hearts? Lord, would you convict us in our spirits? And would we engage our brains and remember all the good things that God's given to us? And that each day we would present our bodies as living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service, which is what God has called us to. We're not looking for forgiveness any longer. We simply want to serve our holy and acceptable. We want to be that before you, and we know you. We are in Jesus' name. So, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, convict us, transform us, change us. Let us never be the same again, and let us step into wholehearted worship in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.